Good morning again, and it's always a joy to be bringing the Lord's Word to each and every one of us. And I thank God for the Word that is given to us. David asked a very interesting question. I believe that's a question that we try to answer from the text that was just read to us, what every church really needs. We live in a time and age, I think if you look at the churches today, or even our church, there are things, you know, we want certain things in the life and ministry of our church. Yes, those things are important, but whether those things are essentials are questions that we need to be asking. I think today we want to dwell on the passage that the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica or to the Thessalonians and mentions what are the things that is important, that are fundamental in the life and ministry of the church. Not only here, but you will see in many of his writings, he speaks about it and he realizes these are important things that the church needs, my friend. And those are the things that the church should build its foundation. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we look at God's Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have access to your Word. We pray, God, as we look at your Word, Lord, we pray that you'll speak to us because your Word always speaks to us, Father. And we want to respond according to the call that is given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, many a times I ask myself this question, you know, who is the head of the church? And all of us know that Christ is the head of the church. Even Christ is head of the church. Do you realize the church has needs? Jesus is the head of the church, is the creator, is a God who's able to provide everything. He's our strength, our refuge, the great creator, and you know, he was the one who leads. But even then, what happens? We realize that there are things that we need in the life and ministry of our church. Why God made it in such a way? You know, he could have said, no, I'm the head of the church, so everything is there. Everything will be provided to you. Yes, it is provided to us, provided, you know, each and every one of us are having confidence in Him. At the same time, you know, depending on Him and seeking Him and finding all the things through Him. The passage that was just read to us is a very simple passage, you know, the Apostle Paul writes. And he writes by saying, you know, brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You know, if you look at Paul's writing, Paul almost concludes most of his letters in this manner. And because he's very consistent, and these are the things that the Apostle Paul sees that the church needs. You know, as I was working on this particular text, you know, I was also thinking about, you know, what our church really needs, right? Yes, there are many things that we need, but I think these are the things that God is wanting us, not only now, but even in the coming years as a church, as a congregation, as a people who love God, to ask God for all these things to bless us. Firstly, I think Paul talks about the necessity of prayer. Yes, I think we have heard numerous sermons. We have read about it. We have, you know, we have gone to seminars. People have taught us, you know, and we know this is something that you almost hear every Sunday in many of the churches. You know, pray, pray, pray. You know, Paul sees that one of the greatest need of the church is not talking about prayer. It's not teaching about prayer. It's not how to pray, but the importance of prayer. People have to come together for prayer. Look at the life of the early church. That was what they did. And the two things that Paul is saying from this word, he says, we all need prayers. Right? He says, brothers, pray for us. You know, let me tell you, Paul was one of the greatest apostles, my friend. And this greatest apostle is saying, you know, brothers, pray for us. In other words, he's saying, you know, it's important Your prayer is important. And he's writing to this church, which was a young church. He said, you know, do this ministry, do these activities. These programs are important for your success. But Paul says, you know, pray for us. You're young believers, but we need your prayers. You know, Paul says, brothers, pray for us. It's a very theological question that you look at, you know, the statement here. He says, brothers, in other words, he's talking about brothers and sisters. That's the way in the Greek text it is. You know, prayers have to be made. He doesn't call the non-Christians to pray for him. He's not calling those who don't exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to pray for him. He says, brothers, in other words, those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have experienced the salvation that God has given, he says, brothers and sisters, pray for us because your prayer is important because you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not against, you know, non-Christians praying, right? But if until and unless you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I do not know whether God hears your prayers. And Paul is very clear about it. Brothers, pray for us. So he realizes each and every one of us need prayer. Today, I think we need to ask ourselves, who's praying for you? Who's praying for you in the church? Or who have you been praying for in the last few weeks, my friend? I think that's important. Yes, we pray for ourselves. Why should the apostle ask this young church, young believers, to pray? Paul himself was a great man of God, prayer. He was a prayer warrior. He was a powerful man. God would immediately listen to him. That was the kind of faith and confidence that he had. But Paul realizes that we all need prayer. Today, who is praying for you? Or who have you been praying for in this week as a church community, my friend? You know, when I look at this, you know, sometimes we don't pray. We talk about prayer, right? You know why? Either we are proud or we don't sense the dependence on God. It's easy to talk about prayer, but I know it's not easy to close your eyes for 5 to 10 minutes and to pray. So Paul says, you know, pray for us. Secondly, you know, he uses the word, brothers, pray for us. Going back to the Greek text, it's an interesting text. The Apostle Paul is not just making a request. You know, in our churches, you use the word prayer request. But Paul is not using in that terms. In the Greek text, it's a command. It's an imperative. In other words, if you're a brother and a sister of the church, you have to pray. That is membership obligation. You're called to pray because you belong to the body of Christ. You are part and parcel of the body of Christ. And that's what Paul sees the importance. Today, like what the apostle said, right? We are responsible to pray for one another. Yes, we pray for ourselves. We pray for our needs. We pray for our church family, in other words, our families. But do we pray for one another? Do we know the needs of our fellow brothers and sisters of our church? Do you know what's happening in their lives? Paul is using a command here. And this is important. This is vital. And this is the need of the church in those days. I believe it's the need of the church today, my friend. Until and unless we know one another, it's difficult for us to know the needs of our church. And so Paul says, you know, every believer is responsible to pray. Have you been praying for our church family by name? Do you know their needs? Is our prayer too small? Is it limited only to us or to our families? Let me tell you, this is important. This is vital for the growth of our church. Paul uses such words. He uses terms like be constant in your prayer, be devoted in your prayer, you know, labor in your prayer, persevere in your prayer. You know, that is the way he wanted the church to pray. You know, in this particular apostle, Paul says, you know, we need to pray that, you know, the word of God should spread. And so he continues. Second need of the church, look at the words very carefully, right? You know, he says, greet all God's people with a holy kiss. We don't do that in our church because in the Eastern culture, particularly in some of the cultures, even today in that part of the world, they kiss. In other words, they kiss to the cheek. And that's the way they greet one another. Here, we say hi-fi, right? We shake hands, but nowadays we try to avoid doing this because of the pandemic and all that. It's good to be very careful too, right? And so we greet in a different way. The Eastern culture, you know, they greet by kissing one another. You know, Paul is very careful. You know, when I see this particular word, why is Paul saying these words? They have been doing this. I believe when you came into the church, you know, the greeter told you, good morning, welcome to the church, and all that. Yeah, this is almost like a normal thing. But what is Paul trying to teach us? What is he trying to, repeat himself? No. He sees the necessity of affection for one another. Look at his words very carefully. You know, he says, we need to have a holy kiss. In other words, it has to be sincere and pure in our affection for one another in the church. He doesn't say kiss. He says holy kiss. In other words, is our greeting sincere? Is our affection to one another sincere, genuine, my friend? And that's what Paul is saying. It's not saying, hello, nice to see you today. Oh, thank God you made it. But are we sincere? And that's what Apostle Paul is saying. He speaks about it in Romans. He speaks about it in Corinthians. You know, and he's even Peter speaks about it in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's in a holy kiss. In other words, you know, you need to, are we sincere in our relationship with one another? That's what Paul is speaking. I believe that is the real need of our church, my friend. It's not just, you know, warming the pews, but are we sincere to one another? You know, Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, yes, we love one another. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. You know, hypocrisy, you know, is a very interesting word. In the Greek word, it means you are wearing a mask. In other words, today we wear masks, and that's how it is explained in the Greek terms. Your mask covers you. In other words, the people are hypocrite. In other words, they will say, hi, how are you? But they don't really mean. I've been praying for you, but I don't think so they ever remembered you throughout the week. How's our affection to one another? You know, Paul says we need to be sincere in our greetings. We need to be sincere. And then he uses another word, which is interesting. Greet all God's people. He says, greet all God's people. Not a few. Not the people that, you know, I know. Not the people who are part of my small group or the people in my team. Paul says, greet all people. In other words, Paul says, we all need affection. We all need to be, you know, reaching out to one another. That's what Paul is saying. You know, greet all the brothers, right? All. That's an important thing, my friend. I think that's what we need in our churches today. Right. Sometimes friendship is good, but you never find friendship in the church, particularly in the New Testament. It's about relationship with one another, fellowship with one another. Sometimes I think we draw a circle too small. But always remember, God so loved the world. His circle was much more wider, my friend. Yes, I would agree with you. You know, it's not easy to know every brother and sister in the church. Yeah, you know a few. But I think that doesn't stop us from going to someone who might be just standing all alone and saying, hey, how are you today? I'm, you know, I just want to get to know you. If you realize, sometimes we are like magnets. I'm not saying when I say we, you know, it's the Christian church. We are like magnets, you know. Certain things come together immediately. I think that's what Paul says. Greet all the brothers. All the brothers and sisters. I think we need real affection in the church, not limited to a few, my friend. Why don't you try this coming weeks or even today? Someone you've not spoken to, during the refreshment, just reach out to them. It might be a small person in the church, a small Sunday school kid, right, just sitting all alone and saying, you know, hey, hi, I'd like to get to know you. Let me tell you, that will make an impact in the child's life. Let's do away with friendship. Let's build fellowship in the life of the church. Let's move on. The third thing the Apostle Paul says, which we always hear, you know, and, you know, by the way, this Thessalonian church was a great example. He says, you know, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. Can you imagine? Young church was so vibrant in their fellowship with one another, right? Today we have snack time. You know, one of the reasons we have snack time, not because any of us are hungry here. One of the reasons, if you look at the historical reason of snack time, is to have a conversation with someone. What happens if we take away the snack time? Will we still talk? We should be relating to one another even though there is no snacks or coffee, my friend. That is affection. And that was what this early church was doing. And so Paul says, to do this more and more. Can you imagine how wonderful if we, all of us, work towards this particular goal? Thirdly, Paul speaks about another thing, you know, he says, I charge you. The third important need of the church in verse 27, he says, I charge you. Wow, that's a great, powerful word from this great apostle before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. In other words, Paul is saying the necessity of God's word. You know, in those days, you know, Paul's letter had a lot of authority. Right, even though he came later than all Peter and other people, his letters carried a lot of authority. In those days, today we have outside speakers who are coming and they speak to us. Another 2 weeks' time, we'll have someone to come and speak to us. But in those days, it was a bit different. Right, Paul cannot be traveling here and there because you know he was involved in so many churches. So what happens? He writes a letter to them, and that becomes a letter that is read to the church. And so Paul is saying, I charge you. You have to do this. And even Peter speaks about Paul's letter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He writes, you know, the importance of listening to the wisdom of the Apostle Paul. So Paul's letter became part of the New Testament when they canonized, became part of Scripture, my friend. The way Peter looks at Paul's letter is almost equivalent to the Old Testament writing. In other words, you know, the importance of God's word, my friend. You will hear this over and over again in every church. The importance of God's word. The importance of prayer. The importance of fellowship. Today, you know, many churches, right, have been involved in so many activities. That's wonderful. So many programs. But that doesn't really make the church. The real church, what the church needs is prayer, genuine affection, holy kiss, the necessity of God's word, treating God's word as an authority. He says, I charge you. How's God's word today? Do you see it as an authority, a path to your life? Do you see the importance of God's word? The early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's important for us, my friend. I think that's what the church needs today. And Jesus spoke about it, you know, sanctify us, Lord, with your word. And lastly, let me finish with this. last need of the church, which is important. You know, he says in verse 28, he closes the letter by saying, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." You know, many times when you receive letters, maybe from me, you will see words like this, blessings. Or some of us will say, sincerely, right? It has become more like a normal term, right? We have to close the letter. So we write, you know, God bless you, the Lord be with you and all that. That's good. I'm not saying no. But when you look at Paul's writing, you know, he's very consistent. In other words, he's consistent in concluding the letter, but even in most of his letters, he speaks about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you know, Paul sees the necessity of God's grace. It's not a throwaway line, just a concluding line. Let me tell you, my friend, the church needs God's grace. We can be involved in activities. We can be doing a lot of programs in the church. We can be sending out missionaries. Those are wonderful things. But everything has to be done with God's grace. And that's what Paul is saying. Even I, you know, I care for one another. I need the grace of God to strengthen me, to guide me into that kind of ministry. When Paul uses the word grace here, he's talking about God's life, God's power, my friend. You know, without God's grace, our ministry is in vain. Our care for one another will be in vain. And so Paul sees the importance of God's grace in everything that we do. And I think it's important, right? Even as we lead worship or preach or do any ministry, asking, Lord, I need your grace. I need your special favor, O God. Because I need you. I need your grace. In Genesis, you read God's grace was with Noah. You know, and we continue reading, you know, God's grace is important. And so, my friend, I think it's important. We need the grace of God. We need the favor of God. We need the unmerited favor of God in all the ministries that we do. Even in bringing up our kids, my friend, we might have the 5 best things for our kids, but without God's grace, we can be involved in ministries, but without God's grace, it becomes another program. We need God's grace in our marriages, my friend. We might be doing whatever that's required, but above all, we need God's grace in all these things. And that's what Paul is teaching us. Today, the church needs God's grace. It's not more activities. It's not more programs. They are wonderful, but if they are done without God's grace and God's favor, it becomes futile, my friend. And so, I believe these are the things that God is teaching us today. Even in the coming week, I want to look at another writing of the great apostle to see what are the great needs of the church. And so, as reminded by the church, you know, by the great apostle, one of the first important needs of the church is prayer. Ask yourself today, who am I praying for? And who is praying for me? Have you been praying for someone in the church? Because it is a command. All believers need prayer, and all believers are responsible to pray. Who's praying for you, and who are you praying for? Secondly, how's our affection to one another? Is it genuine? Is it restricted? I'm not saying that we need to know every detail of everyone, my friend. Have you ever had a chance to make the effort of getting to know or even saying hi? Is there something that I can pray for you in the coming week? Let me tell you, that means a lot to people in today's world. Thirdly, God's word. How are we treating God's word today? He says, I charge you. Wow, that's a powerful word. How is God's word to us today? Is it another a book that we just read because we have to? Or do we treat it as God's word for us? Pure, powerful. It molds me, it shapes me. Let me encourage you in all the things that you do. Ask for God's grace. Lord, I need your grace, oh God. I need your grace. I need your grace in my family. I need your grace in my studies. I need your grace, Lord, in my married life. I need your grace in the ministries that is given to me. I need your grace, oh God. Even in my workplace, I need your grace. I need your grace. The God that we worship is always willing to be with us, my friend. Let's pray. We have heard many times about prayer. We have heard numerous times about affection for one another. Love one another. A phrase commonly used by Christians today. We heard about God's word. Yes, we need to read, meditate, devote, and all that. But the Apostle Paul does not see these things lightly. He sees they are important in the life and ministry of an individual and also in the life and ministry of the church. We know about prayer, but who's praying for you this week? Or who have you been praying in the last week? The coming week, do you have anyone in mind that you want to pray? How's our affection to one another? Is it sincere? Is it restricted to certain people in our church? Do we reach out? Do you say hi to the brother who's just standing in the corner, or this young girl, small girl from the Sunday school, all alone, sitting in a corner? How's God's word? How we treat God's word today? And do we ask for God's grace? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us what we need today from this great man of God. Help us, Lord, to be obedient. We thank you once again. In Jesus' name we pray.